Hello, good evening, welcome. I am Samuel Trapp. This is International Flavor, and you are currently with me in spirit only at the Lake Ozark Real Estate of the Arts Studio. You want to send me some emails tonight? Please do at live@damradio.com or the old Samuel T at internationalflavor.com. If you feel like phoning in, call in 573-746-8020. I'm a little on the grumpy side tonight, and not even for myself. Isn't that depressing? I am actually grumpy because of what someone else is going through or what he has already gone through, and I'm quite grumpy about it. It is Mr. Todd Isaac Skelton, otherwise known to the planet as Ike Skelton. Just a good man, a brave man and contestant, and in Camden County, no higher authority. He is the presiding commissioner of Camden County, Missouri, and he has been, these are my words, not his, this is all Sammy, okay, this is me. And it has, you know, he has no idea I'm doing it, but he has been targeted, and I am grumpy about it. I don't like it when people get targeted. I didn't like it when I got targeted, and trust me, I've had my share of targeting, and I know what it looks like. And it makes me grumpy that this good man has had to bend over and take it up the tailpipe. And he did the right thing. I'm not complaining about that. But I want to talk about this. I think this is crap. And if you are a good Camden County citizen and you don't know about this, perhaps you should find out. And a lot of people already know. I know it's been talked about, but it hasn't been talked about by me. I have been pretty silent on it, although I've known about it for a while. And I think he was targeted in beginning by Rochelle Grosvenor. I often refer to her incorrectly as Rochelle Christensen because that's how I knew her. That's how I met her years and years ago in Jefferson City when she was a Democrat and got appointed to judge as a Democrat by a Democrat for a Democrat. And then you come to Camden County and you figure, hey, I can't get elected. And all I want to do is be elected. So you change your party. And that's just the way it works these days. It'd be different if she had a different point of view, but I don't believe that to be true. She still believes in big government and targeting the good guy. And what she did in this case, I think, is crap. And I think she shouldn't have done it. I think people ought to investigate her. As a potential witness in the case, she was also the prosecutor, and she personally sent a letter saying, hey, I want somebody to investigate this guy when she was the witness. This is crap, and I think it is borderline investigative, meaning somebody should look into her for it, but they never will because they don't do it against people in the state. They don't do it against state actors. State actors always get away with it. It is they just wash their hands. What? I was trying to do the right thing. Oh yeah, I was trying to do, yeah, right. She wasn't trying to do the right thing. She was targeting him because she knows more than he does. She didn't try to help him, not in any way. She attacked him. She went after him. And she went after him, well, you know, with a vendetta. And he ended up today taking the right move, by the way, and just so I don't overstep, I will tell you what he said in his press release. And I don't have the original. I've got I have a version of it. Let's see what it says here. Let's take it and see what he said. Felony counts were all dismissed, and Commissioner Ike Skelton resolves the cases and refocuses on county priorities. So Camden County, Missouri, Presiding Commissioner Ike Skelton announced today, state of Missouri has dismissed all felony charges filed against him. The now dismissed case included a claim of stealing. She had him charged with stealing. This is crap of the greatest level of crap. You want to take piles of crap and keep throwing them in. This is nonsense. And they knew that he wasn't stealing the cameras. They knew that from the very beginning. She knew this and allowed it to happen anyway. Nonsense. She knew that nobody could prove him guilty of stealing anything, and she allowed it to happen, or rolled over and watched it happen. That's what occurred. From the outset, he and his counsel maintained that there was zero evidence of theft or intent, noted that the device's owner and the state, before he took them, were repeatedly notified to remove the unauthorized cameras placed along a Missouri public highway. The owners were invited to retrieve their property. After the camera was taken down, a highway patrolman watched him take them down and didn't arrest him at the time. Nonsense. The matter underscored a broad legal question because, why? Because no Missouri statute gives the Department of Public Safety or any private company authority to erect automatic license plate reader cameras on state highways, and any such power would require a legislative action. So they've skipped all that. This is police state at its finest, folks. While the Missouri Department of Control controls highway right-of-way, the authority does not transfer to the Department of Public Safety or to any private vendor. And until any court says otherwise, Camden County has an ordinance on this issue that remains in effect. Nonsense. The to eliminate the cost and distraction of taxpayers and his family, he agreed to resolve the case by pleading guilty to a misdemeanor for obstructing an illegal government operation. A resolution characterized pragmatic step, you know, and basically, Ike's a good guy. And Ike was attempting to do the right thing. I'm not saying whether he did the right thing. I don't know. I don't care. It could have been that he could have gone to trial and all these things. He could have won. Now, as a former lawyer, I can tell you that sometimes you sit down with your clients and you say, especially in the criminal world, it's a lot of risk in that. You know, if somebody got these BS felonies like they charged against him, and your choice is, and a lot of reasons the prosecutor will overcharge. Oh, no, Lord forbid they overcharge. The prosecutors are known to overcharge. They throw all kinds of crap at you, especially if they know they don't have a lot. So they throw even more at you. It's like they go to some crazy prosecutor school, and they don't go to law school. They go to some crazy prosecutor school, which trains them to make ridiculous statements. And if you don't have Donald Trump level money, you can't take the risk. You cannot take the risk because the cards are stacked against you. Nobody wants to disbelieve the police. Nobody wants to believe that a prosecutor would target anyone. There are all kinds of things. I have no idea what went on in Ike's case because I wasn't involved. He had, you know, but I can tell you that I know exactly what happened when, you know, I know enough of the story to sit down and tell you that, hey, man, this was crap from the get-go. And if you're not pissed off about it, you ought to be. And this is just wrong. And you know what? You can level your anger at a lot of people. You ought to start with these idiot highway patrolmen that went after him. And you ought to start with Rochelle Grosvenor. And I hope I'm saying it correctly. Wouldn't want her to be mad at me for that. And but it was crap what she did to him. It is complete crap. They didn't help him when he was asking for help on how do I do this. Not a soul, you know, city attorney or county attorney, I mean, and Rochelle, neither one of them said it. Rochelle, in fact, said, I'll have you arrested. There's a good plan. Or she intimated that he would be arrested. And then she made sure it happened. You know, but nobody ever told him, no, you can't do that. Nobody ever told him that is not how it's done. Perhaps if they had any competence down there, they would have said, hey, you need to file some sort of action in court to enforce this, to enforce the regulation. Maybe you file suit against the idiots who installed them. Maybe you go after Flock itself. Maybe you go after the Department of Public Safety. Maybe you go after the cops who approved putting it in there from the Department of Public Safety. Maybe you go after the sheriff of Camden County who said it was okay in contravention of county ordinance. Nonsense. There are plenty of ways to investigate this case. As a former attorney, I can tell you that I would love to research this case for him. In fact, I did a little bit of looking just today. But before I get to that, because there's several federal lawsuits that have gone on regarding this. And if you're not angry about this, okay, I had a person come to me, a family member that came to me, oh geez, several years ago. And Florida, what other states? There's several states that have these blasted cameras everywhere, okay, on their roadways. And what they are using these cameras for the most part, is they are collecting the data. And if they collect enough of the data all over the place, they can track your movements without a warrant, without knowing. So you see all these TV movies that say, oh, geez, take these traffic cameras and use them to extrapolate your stuff. Why do people buy the spray that makes your license plate unreadable? There used to be covers that you could put on there. A lot of states put covers, are outlawed so that you can be tracked as they go along. And some states haven't outlawed that, but then there's a spray you can buy that allegedly you spray your license plate and it will hide it. Well, people are doing this because they don't want to be tracked. They say it is an illegal search and seizure that they are looking into. I assume that's what Ike and company believed when they put this into effect, or when it was discussed and put into effect. But what's the point to have in an ordinance if you're not able to affect it, to effectuate the removal? You send letters to these a-holes for a while and say, come get your damn camera, and they never do. And then when you take it down, they arrest you and claim you stole it, knowing damn well you didn't steal it. And where are my glasses? I've misplaced my glasses. I printed off a copy because here's the felony complaint, okay? Felony complaint in three counts, okay? Here's what's filed against him. Comes now the prosecuting attorney of County of Camden, State of Missouri, by and through the undersigned special appointed prosecutor, because Rochelle didn't want to do it herself, but she made sure it happened, okay? She sent it out, you know, and she was the one. She made sure this happened. She participated in it from the very get-go. She sits with Ike and says, don't take it down or somebody might investigate you and arrest you. So she, on her own, instigates the investigation after she told him that there were other ways. Basically, I wouldn't do it, you know. She can't give him legal advice, you know. But she made sure to target him after that. Okay, so here it is. Count one, charge code 570.030. In violation of section 570.030, revised Missouri statutes, he committed the what? Class D felony of stealing. Everybody knew he wasn't stealing. Nonsense. Punishable upon conviction under section 558.002 and 558.011, that on December 31st, 2024, in Camden County, Missouri, he appropriated, That's right. He appropriated a Flock safety camera. Since when is this a safety camera? This is not a safety camera, so I'd argue about that too. Of a value of at least $750 by physically taking it from its location on or near Highway 54. And the Flock safety camera is owned by Flock Inc., Flock Group Inc., and defendant appropriated such property without the consent of Flock Group Inc., with the purpose to deprive Flock Group Inc. thereof. Now, what did Rochelle Christensen know herself? Rochelle Grosvenor? What did she know? What did this prosecutor, who is this that needs to be spat at? Nicholas Komorowski. Oh, good Polish name. Perhaps Russian, Mother Russia. That he is Nicholas Komorowski, who she encouraged to file this. He knew it as well. Had he read the reports, he knew this. And had he spoken to Rochelle, the witness in the case, one of them, then he also would have known that there was no intent to steal anything. And this he knew. And if he had also, he would also know that letters had been sent to these people. This makes me so angry. This is why I don't like lawyers and state lawyers. They, you know, for them to make crazy cases like this, if you were a plaintiff's lawyer working in the private sector and you made a BS claim like this, the judge would smack you silly by sanctioning you by doing something like this. But these people get away with it every single time. And they get away with it because people don't say anything. Nobody can say anything. Oh, geez, we're just trying to follow the law, and it's a valid complaint. Yeah, why can't a plaintiff's attorney get away with it? If he makes a BS complaint, guess what? He's subject to sanction by the court. He's subject to investigation by idiots at Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel. No, not so if you're a state employee. You are exempt from all that crap. You don't get investigated. You don't get questioned. You might lose every once in a while, or a judge might dismiss something once in a while, but not very often. And the judge can always claim, well, I didn't know any of that stuff. You know, those things will come out by making a proper motion, you know, and the defense counsel will make a proper motion. Yeah, but why should a defense counsel have to do it? Because they all knew that this was only a misdemeanor at best. So they had to allege that he stole something. So they had to allege that he stole something of a certain value to make sure that it would be a felony, right? And so if we can just get over that amount, we can charge him with a felony. And that'll scare him with the risk, you know, that's out there, the expense that's out there of hiring an attorney. All of these things will force him to just give up, plead guilty to a misdemeanor, because, you know, that'll shut him up anyway. You know, if he pleads guilty to something, he can't come back and sue us later. But if he gets this case dismissed, perhaps he can come back and sue us. So we need to make sure that he pleads guilty to something. And that's exactly what they've done in this case. And they took this crazy fact pattern and turned it into... So here's a guy, the commissioner of Camden County, elected official. Rochelle is also an elected official, is she not? Another elected official going after a certain elected official. Nonsense. First of all, that is BS. You can't go into his office and say, hey, you shouldn't have done this. We need to put this back up. But no. I have to prove that I've got you. I've got to prove that I was right and you were wrong. I don't think this proves anything, even if he did plead guilty. It proves that he doesn't want to spend the money or torment his family or interfere with other things going on in the county or interfere. I mean, there are so many reasons to get rid of it for something with very little risk. I mean, I don't question that remotely. You know, that's a good deal, you know, to get rid of it with a misdemeanor. If I'm practicing law, I'm telling them take it all day long and twice on Sunday. Get rid of the risk of a felony, just like I would tell anybody else. You know, get rid of it. And how do you get rid of it? You get rid of it by taking a deal that they offered you, which is what they knew they wanted all along in the first place. They didn't want to get this guy for a felony, and they knew they'd never win in a jury trial anyway. Nonsense. And so, anyway, I'm babbling about this. Let's get on to alleged count two. Get this. In violation of section 569.080, he committed another Class D felony of tampering in the first degree, punishable upon conviction, that on the same, for the same facts, for the purpose of causing substantial inconvenience to the Missouri Department of Public Safety, tampered with a flock safety camera located on or about Highway 54 by physically removing and taking the camera from its fixed position. So that is how he is interfering with the Department of Public Safety. Well, he had a valid reason to take that down. I'm not so sure that this isn't an, you know, he has to have the purpose of causing substantial inconvenience. He didn't take this for the purpose of causing substantial inconvenience to the Missouri Department of Public Safety. He took it because there was a Camden County ordinance that said they can't be allowed in the county. If he was mistaken about any aspect of that, it still doesn't provide the proper intent to prove him guilty of any felony, because he has to have had the intent to do so. And he didn't. Okay. So then let's go into count number three. This one here, get this is beautiful, right? In violation of section 576, he committed the Class B misdemeanor of obstructing a government operation, punishable upon conviction, blah, blah, blah. And that the same set of facts, he purposely impaired the performance of a government function, the Missouri Department of Public Safety's use of a safety camera. It is not a safety camera, and you need to quit calling it that, because it's not. It's a spy camera. In that, by the use of force, the defendant forcibly removed the safety camera from its fixed position, thereby preventing the Department of Public Safety from using the safety camera for public safety and law enforcement purposes. Oh, like what? What are they? What are they for? You know, they are for tracking citizens. That is what they're for. And so that is the charge, okay? That is the charge that ultimately he pleaded guilty to, the Class B misdemeanor. And neither of the other two, they knew they didn't have it anyway. But so this is the BS of our legal system. If you have friends in the prosecutor's office, trust me, you won't be prosecuted. If you have friends in high places, trust me, you won't be prosecuted. But if you piss off someone, especially the types of the Rochelle Grosvenors of the world, then they will purposely come after you with anything they can possibly allege. And she made sure that that happened, okay? And there's a guy, is this the guy who actually watched this? The cop that actually watched him take it? It's pretty funny. He didn't list his name. It's such BS that this is put out there. So a highway patrolman actually watched Ike do this and didn't stop him at the time, didn't create his own report. It was days later that Rochelle sent a request to somebody to have them investigate, you know, to investigate this. And then this guy went back and wrote a report, right? And he writes a report. And he writes, let's see. I have probable cause. And this is a guy named Trooper Gordon, right? And he knows that false statements are punishable, but he can't list the name of the witness on here. And he did this on January the 7th. So seven days later, okay? And And by the way, Ike had been telling him where the camera was and all those facts. You know, he sent letters to him, said, hey, I got your camera. Come pick it up. Tell me where to send it. Blah, blah, blah. But this Trooper Gordon, the genius, right, he goes out too. And he says, I have probable cause to believe that Skelton, Todd Isaac, committed the offense listed below on 12/31/2024. At 14:29 hours. Now that's pretty certain time period that you know a whole 7 days later, right? After Rochelle asks you to go investigate. And then he said, then he lists the obstructing a government operation, tampering with the service of utility or institution in the first degree, that he was stealing of $750 or more, and that he was receiving stolen property. And they didn't charge that one. That's kind of interesting that they neglected to charge that, right? But that's what he was, you know, when he wrote this report, he was, yep, Rochelle, we got this boy. We got him. And he states as follows. On December 31, 2024, at 19:29 hours, it's pretty exact. A sergeant with the Missouri State Highway Patrol, a sergeant who, you don't know the name of him? I mean, Jesus, I'm sure he did, but he didn't put it in here. We'll leave that curious mess for later. Observed two male subjects near the pole-mounted license plate recognition flock safety camera, which was located on the south side of U.S. Highway 54 near Ballpark Road in Camden County. The sergeant, also observed a brown Ford pickup bearing Camden County government license plates in the area. The sergeant contacted two subjects and recognized one of the subjects as Todd Isaac Skelton, the current Camden County presiding commissioner. He advised he had paperwork indicating the camera belonged to Flock, and the most recent memorandum of understanding was no longer in effect. So, on December 31st, I obtained a copy of the MOU in question from the Missouri Department of Public Safety. The current MOU was signed in 2022 by Camden County Sheriff Tony Helms. It said, this MOU will commence once executed by both parties and will continue for a period of 5 years. DPS provided me with documentation between DPS and Flock Group, which indicated Flock was the owner of the camera and the camera was leased to DPS. Flock Group indicates DPS is the custodian of the camera and is responsible for any fees associated with replacement. During the investigation, I spoke with Camden County Prosecuting Attorney Rochelle Grosvenor. Oh my God. She said, Ike had previously told her he was going to remove the camera. Oh my God. She told Skelton not to remove the camera, or he could face criminal charges. She made sure that happened. On December 31, I received information from DPS confirming that the Flock camera was removed. Oh my God. Data from the camera showed still images of the interior of a building, rendering it useless for its intended purpose and service. On January 2, Flock Group provided global positioning system information for the location of the camera, indicating the camera was located in the Camden County Commissioner's office. By the way, he told them that it was there. He told everyone. This guy watched him take it down. Nonsense. This is such crap. On January 2, I met with Skelton, who escorted me to the Camden County Commissioner's office. I followed him to the office, where he produced the camera and surrendered it to me. On January 6th, Flock Group estimated replacement of the camera to be $800. That's convenient, isn't it? The camera has yet to be replaced and services are still interrupted. Spy services, not safety services. Nobody ever said anything about that camera providing any sort of safety to anyone. And if you believe it's supplying you with safety, you're the problem. Okay. What they're doing is accumulating data on people that pass by the camera. Because what does it do? It reads your license plate, right? It reads the license plate and transmits that data to where? To Flock. And it and they're the ones that record all of the data. And are they searching you? Do they have a right to know that you've passed that? Do they have, I mean, that talk about government interference, okay? This is just wrong. And it's and I'm very much against these sorts of things. I dislike it enormously that government overreach of this type exists. Because guess what's happening? Flock takes all this data and accumulates it. Flock has access to all of this stuff. And Flock, what are they doing? Suppose you rented a car, or suppose you bought a car from somewhere and you go through 2-3 months of, I don't know, failure to make your car payment. Guess who they're selling your data to when you cross by it? The repo company, the bank, the finance company. That's what they're doing with it. They are selling your information to whoever they want to. They are Flock. They can take your information and do with it whatever they want. Who is going to stop them from doing this? Nobody. And nobody does. I want to share with you, let's see, let me find a couple of cases here. I did a little bit of looking just because I'm a crazy SOB, and this pisses me off, by the way. So I've got a working list of federal court cases, right? And one of them, I want to read you the complaint. I even downloaded it for you. That gives you the they want to call it safety. Flock even calls themselves Flock Safety, right? Nonsense. So here's some federal cases. They're civil, section 1983. By what they mean by that is 42 USC, United States Code, section 1983, which is an exception that allows people to go after police departments, cities, individuals in the cities who create these decisions, or Flock itself. Okay, based on these leases. Well, the one that is going on right now, does it have Flock involved, is a one called Schmidt and Arrington versus the City of Norfolk. Citywide in Norfolk, Virginia, this is filed in the Eastern District Court of Virginia, Flock Network has 172 cameras. The city filed a motion to dismiss. The judge denied the city's motion to dismiss on February 5, 2025. They were making claims that say that are Carpenter style, because back several years ago, a case called Carpenter went all the way to Supreme Court. And what they were alleging were that cell phone towers that allow cops to go and take your cell phone data and triangulate where you were at particular times without a search warrant are an illegal search and seizure. And they were doing it all the time. Well, this is exactly what the Department of Public Safety or Flock or anybody involved is doing with all these cameras. And, I have to speak to somebody. Hold on. Let me see if I can figure this out. Hello, fair caller. What may I do for you?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who's this?
Huh?
How can I help you, caller?
I wanted to ask you about How did you feel about Elon Musk when he was collecting all the data from everybody? Everybody's data.
I know nothing about that. What are you talking about?
You don't know about Elon Musk? You don't remember Doge?
Oh, I don't care about that. I thought that was a ridiculous endeavor. But, you know, I don't care about that. But I thought it was ridiculous. I'm for you on that. What else you got?
It's data collection.
Okay, I'm against it then. What else?
Nick, you just dismiss it. You're having a tantrum about
flock cameras. Yes, I am.
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't care that he come in and or that they're partnering with Peter Thiel.
What did I just say? What did I say? I said I am against that. I am against it. I'm on your side. If you're against it, I'm with you.
Me too. Hey, you know what? When Trump has acknowledged that blockchain stuff works, and so we can just vote by telephone. You know what I'm saying?
If they had a definite means of identifying every vote, I'm not against that either. What else you got?
Well, that's how blockchain works. Yep.
Okay. If it identifies everyone in one person, one vote, I'm for it. No, I'm not against. And they can identify that the right person logged into the right blockchain account. I'm all for it.
All right.
If you're taking a video call, I'm all for it. What else?
We have one representative for 700,000 something people, and other countries have a representative for each 100,000 people. Ike Skelton is really down on those foreign countries that have socialism that isn't for the rich. He thinks that if you live in Russia, that everybody lives in the same size house and it's gray and they all work in a smudge factory.
Okay. I don't know what Ike thinks, except I do know what he thinks about flock cameras, which is the topic tonight.
Yeah. But you can verify that you're a world traveler. You've been to these places that have functioning democracies, right?
I have.
Do you like our healthcare system, or do you think we could have a single payer healthcare system like a?
I don't know about single payer, but I do know that I enjoy going and getting treatment in other countries because it is far cheaper and the standards are equal to or greater than. So I'm on your side on that one too. How does that make you feel?
Good. It's good. How do you feel about state-run universities? I don't think everything should be privatized. I think hospitals are not as good a quality as they could be because some things you need aren't profitable.
Well, most countries have dual systems. They have private and they have public. And you have both available to you. But if you need treatment, you can go get it.
But when you on this station, that's not you made it sound like that. That's understood. But you realize that they don't understand that, right?
The who don't understand that?
Most of the listeners of Damn Radio.
Most of the listeners of Damn Radio are free to understand whatever they like. I hope that I'm providing valuable information toward that effect that will allow them to make decisions about what is true and what's not.
you understand that they don't understand that you have your covered option or your insurance options, or you're free to pay out of pocket for anything that you want that's not covered, right? They don't understand that.
Well, all I know is that when I was paying for an office full of people right before the old Obamacare, I personally paid for all of my employees, and there were only 10, 11, 12, at most that were there, and I paid for their health insurance every month. And the average cost of that bill was just under $3,000 a month that I paid for my employees. And as soon as Obamacare took effect, do you know what I did? I paid them that same amount of money. I increased their salary that same amount. And you know why? Not because I'm a good guy and said, go do your own and go find your own. Because I had been providing it before. I wanted to continue to provide it, but I couldn't afford to pay it. I was doing a valuable thing for my employees who I liked and wanted to continue to provide. But by the time it was done, do you know that the cost of mine, just me, my cost went up by more than triple. And most everyone's there went up by more than triple. In the first period after Obamacare took effect, we were screwed. And so what happened? All those poor people had to go take a substandard, state-run piece of crap insurance policy because they couldn't afford to pay for the best policy. And all I did was kick them the same amount of money that I'd been paying for their health insurance. And then mine, I had to turn around and pay an insurance company like more than triple for just my own. And I think that is BS. And I think the system is still a piece of crap. And no matter how you slice it, and by the way, at the time, I never condemned the old Obaminator. I didn't condemn him at the time. I was like, you know, I believe that something has to happen in this regard sooner or later, because healthcare costs are far too expensive for the ordinary Joe.
Yeah.
And something has to happen. I don't condemn him for trying. I condemn him for not putting enough effort into it. And look at this crap mess that we got, which still exists today. So I don't see anything different. Sure, you can go out and pay it privately, pay three times what you would pay under the Obaminator, but under Obamacare, you're going to pay, and then you're not going to get the treatment you need because you got to fight to get the basics. I'm just glad that I'm covered mostly under the Veterans Administration, and that people complain about. I do too, but fortunately for me, I'm fairly healthy, so... That's unfortunate for, you know, the rest of the world who isn't healthy, or the rest of America anyway. But anyway, that's not what I was talking about today. I was on a topic, and I'd really like to get back to it. What are your thoughts on these cameras? What? You think they should still be around? You think the government should be following us around with cameras?
Man, you should be thankful you got a caller. I don't want to talk about Camden County.
Okay, well, I'm talking about these cameras. And right now, I'm in the city of Norfolk and talking about cameras. Yeah. And I want to finish my train of thought because I have several more cases to go through and say, if you're not into these cameras, here's how you fight them.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe I would call in and change the topic.
Well, thank you very much, I'm not going to allow that today. I want to get on with what I had originally planned.
Don't put your foot down.
Yeah, buddy. I appreciate you calling. You have a good evening. But if you don't want to talk about cameras, I'm going to let you go.
Hey, you know why I call you Trixie?
I'm sorry?
You know why I call you Trixie?
Because you call
Dean Parker.
You call me Trixie?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because you called Dean Parker and was talking in a clear voice and trolling him.
I called Dean Parker?
Yeah.
I don't even know who Dean Parker is.
I know. You don't know nothing about it, do you?
I have no idea who Dean Parker is, and I don't call and troll anyone. So
yeah,
you're Okay. Well, whatever. I have no idea who Dean Parker is.
I'm all for flock cameras. If you can't knock a flock camera down and leave without making a scene, then you're a dumbass. And you're a dumbass too. So
okay. Thanks for calling. Well, and there he goes. Well, there you have it. Anyway, I want to get back to these flock cameras and Schmidt versus Arrington in the city of Norfolk. And that city had put in over 172, and frankly, they were actually trying to put some more. Trial is allegedly still set for the fall of 2025, but I think that's been moved, actually, because I went out and had a look at it on the federal website. But I think it's still going to go further and see what happens. And I believe it'll be appealed. It's right now at the Eastern District of Virginia court. And so I forget which circuit that is. We'll have to look that up to see where it gets appealed to. But that could end up at the United States Supreme Court because, as I was saying before, the caller gave us his elucidation on these topics. The Supreme Court has held in a case called Carpenter that without a warrant, search of like radio towers, of your ping, where the ping goes on your cell phone, of tracking your location on your cell phone device without a warrant is an illegal search and seizure. And so you have to have one before you can use it. So the effect of this Schmidt versus Arrington case, or I'm sorry, Schmidt and Arrington versus the city of Norfolk case, they've made a similar allegation. And the judge, after the initial 12B6 motion to dismiss was filed, he did not grant the motion to dismiss, meaning he allowed the case to go forward. And then the flock has tried several times to intervene in the case, to become a party to the case, because they want to fight for this. They can't have some lowly city attorney, you know, some city being represented by a private attorney. They can't have that, can they? And so Flock, with their high-power, big-dollar attorneys, has also attempted to intervene in that case. And so let's see if we can bring up that case for you, because I do have it. And this case is how the complaint is drafted. And this complaint went by. Okay, and this is an interesting story. So the city of Norfolk, Virginia installed a network of cameras to make it basically it's impossible to drive anywhere in Norfolk without having your movements tracked, your car and you photographed, and all of this stored in an AI-assisted database that enables warrantless surveillance of every move. This civil rights lawsuit was seeking to end this dragnet surveillance program. So the city and its police department contracted with a tech company called Flock Safety to blanket Norfolk with 172 advanced automatic license plate reader cameras. These powerful cameras photograph every single car that passes by. Unlike a police officer posted at an intersection, the cameras never blink, they never sleep, and they see and remember everything. Every passing car is captured, its license plate and other features are analyzed using a proprietary machine learning program like Flock's vehicle fingerprint system. All of that surveillance creates a detailed record of where every driver in Norfolk is driving. Anyone with access to that database can go back at any time and see where a car was on any given day. And they can track its movement across at least the past 30 days, creating a detailed map of the driver's movements. The city police chief has boasted that it would be difficult to drive anywhere of any distance without running into a camera somewhere. So in Norfolk, no one can escape the government's 172 unblinking eyes, and the city's dragnet is only expanding. On September 24 of 2024, the chief of police announced plans to acquire 65 more cameras. The cameras make this surveillance not just possible, but very easy. Flock provides advanced search and AI functioning, the sort of tracking that would have taken days of effort, multiple officers, and significant resources just a decade ago. Now take only a few mouse clicks. A city officer can output a list of locations a car has been, create lists of cars that visited specific locations, and even track cars that are often seen together. There are no meaningful restrictions on a city officer's access to the information. An officer need only to watch Flock's orientation video, create his own login credential, and get access. After that, the police department requires them to log in and use Flock's database throughout the entire shift. Although the police department's policy requires officers use the information for law enforcement purposes only, no one monitors that use. Every city officer can search the database whenever they want, for whatever they want, and they don't need to seek any approval. All of this is done without a warrant. Well, for me, when I was first going through this, I was sitting there going, so, and we all know cops do this. Don't tell me they do not. They, the worst husband, the worst boyfriend, the worst girlfriend is a police officer. And trust me, if the police had this and could find out what their wife was doing during the day, they would. If they could find out if somebody was coming by the house, they would. Just like they do to track cell phones of their wives, just like they do, because rules don't apply to them, remember. They can use this stuff. They don't just use it for that. If they want to find out where somebody is and go screw with them, they can do that too. And trust me, they do. It's not unheard of for this to happen. No officer has to establish probable cause, swear any fact in a warrant application, or await approval of a neutral judge. The cameras just take the photographs and store the information of every driver that passes by, suspect or not. By the way, just like they do for your phone. And all of that data and being able to just access that data is an illegal search, according to the Carpenter case. The photograph and informations are available to any officer in the city to use as they see fit. And if city officials download the photos and information during that 30-day window, there's no restraint on how long they can hold that data or how long they can use it. Worse still, Flock itself, a private company, has a centralized database with over 1 billion license plates read every month. They're all over the country, tracking where you're going. So even after a driver leaves a city, officers can potentially keep following them to more than 5,000 communities where Flock has cameras. So this is a big case, and Ike is now in the middle of it. Likewise, any person with access to Flock's centralized database can access the city's information, potentially without the city even knowing it. More ominously, the city's police chief has said this creates a nice curtain of technology for the city and the surrounding area. Plaintiffs are ordinary people who live and work in Norfolk. Every day, they drive past the city's automatic license plate readers as they go to work, go to the store, go to their kids' school, go to church, go to meet friends, go to meet family. Like most people, they maintain a reasonable amount of privacy in their lives, and they find it creepy that the city's unblinking camera eyes follow them as they go about their day, noting where they are and when, and storing their movements in a government database for any officer to see. They worry about how someone might use or misuse that information, especially given the minimal restrictions on its access. The city's camera surveillance system violates the Fourth Amendment. Tracking a person's public movements over 30-day periods is definitely a search. The city is gathering information about everyone who drives past any of its 172 cameras to facilitate, and they're in what, you know, in quotes here, I'm putting these quotes, to facilitate investigating crime. Yeah, right. In doing so, they violate the long-standing societal expectation that a person's movements and associations over an extended period are their own personal business and only theirs. And because the city does all of this without a warrant, instead of letting individual officers decide for themselves when and how to access an unprecedented catalog of every person's movements throughout Norfolk and beyond, the city's searches are unreasonable. Isn't that correct? Of course it's correct. This is exactly the type of police surveillance talked about in Carpenter versus United States, which is a 2018 case I've been telling you about, that the Fourth Amendment was adopted to prevent. And this lawsuit was what was put into place to attempt to end it by Lee Schmidt and Crystal Arrington, the two plaintiffs, against the city of Norfolk, the Norfolk Police Department, and Mark Talbot, who is the Norfolk chief of police. And that is basically the case. And defendant Mark Talbot is, you know, basically being sued. He has the authority to establish policies and blah, blah, blah. Automatic license plate readers, sometimes called ALPRs or LPRs, are computer-controlled cameras mounted above the ground level or on police cars that automatically capture all license plate numbers that come into their view. These images are then typically transferred to a computer or a server, which uses optical character recognition software to convert the image into a license plate number. It's a relatively new technology. The earliest forms date back to the late 70s. As the technology has improved and gotten cheaper, it has gained more widespread adoption among law enforcement agencies. The cameras capture images of every car that passes them. Unlike a police officer, they don't take breaks, they don't blink, they don't sleep. They operate around the clock, capture all license plates that pass within a fixed distance, even at high speed or at night. Once an ALPR captures a license plate, it creates a record of the location and time of the capture. That information is then stored in a database, perhaps indefinitely. Some companies that sell ALPRs and software services to police departments also offer the customer the capability to pool data. By opting into such data sharing, police departments can create multi-jurisdictional databases that track the movements of cars across cities, states, or even the entire country. Police departments commonly compare the license plate images to any hot list. This hot list includes vehicles reported stolen and those suspected of involvement in a crime. Anyone with access to the department's database can use the data to track a car over time. With enough cameras, the data can be used to pinpoint a car's location and map its movements over any time period for which data exists. A driver can be tracked to church, to a doctor's office, to a drug abuse treatment clinic, to a political protest, anywhere. They also create a record of every other car at that location at the same time, revealing not just where the person was driving, but who else was there around the same time. This can be used to determine who a driver met, who they traveled with, reveal a driver's friends, colleagues, associations. This is scary crap, people. Some companies offer software that automates the tracking practice. You know, people like Rochelle would love this. You know, they want to be able to pinpoint where you are at every second so they could come and, you know, tell you that you're going to be arrested, come up with something to get you, right? Like she did with Ike. Allowing an officer to easily compile these records with minimal effort. An investigation that would have required a team of officers to tail someone for days, or multiple investigators to cobble together information from multiple data sources, now takes an instant. With a few mouse clicks, software programs can let police map a driver's route and produce an analysis of vehicles commonly seen in the same vicinity. Absent any warrant, how the police use these systems is left up to the officer's own devices. Officers can abuse their access to get information for illegitimate reasons, like tracking a protester or tracking a personal acquaintance, and third parties can even gain access. These threats are more than just a mere possibility. For instance, a police chief and an officer in different departments in Kansas use data from the same vendor that defendants use to stalk their ex-partners. Okay, let's read about that. Huh? How about we say Kansas police chief used Flock license plate camera 164 times to track his ex-girlfriend. And this was an article from August 17, 2024. Let's see. A Sedgwick, Kansas police chief used Flock safety license plate readers to track his ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend's vehicles 228 times over 4+ months and used his police vehicle to follow them out of town, according to a city official and a report released earlier this week by the agency overseeing police certification. Lee Nygaard admitted to misusing Flock while he was being investigated for an unrelated misconduct case, a Sedgwick official said. He then resigned. The license plate readers alert officers of specific license plates. Flock, which has license plate readers in 4,000+ cities across the country, would not agree to a phone interview and wouldn't say how many instances of police abuse of the cameras has occurred. While it is the job of law enforcement to hold the general population accountable to the law, ultimately, it is the job of our elected and appointed official to hold law enforcement agencies accountable to local and state laws that govern their use and misuse of policing technology, Flock spokesperson Holly Balin, as what it sounds like, said in response to the questions. Flock said it wasn't formally notified of the incident and would not say more about that. It's the second instance of police misusing the cameras that has been publicly reported. The first also happened in Sedgwick County when a lieutenant in Kitchy used Wichita's police Flock cameras to stalk his estranged wife. He was sentenced to 18 months of probation. Nygaard won't face charges, but he did lose his police certification. He resigned in 2023. He used Flock cameras to check for his ex-girlfriend's whereabouts 164 times and her new boyfriend's whereabouts 64 times, according to the order from the Kansas Commission on Peace Officer Standards that revoked his license. He had been with the department since September 2020. All of that time as chief. He could not be reached for comment. Isn't that crazy? That's article number one. What else do we have here? Oops, I think I messed up. Oh, no. Son of a nutcracker. What was I reading here? I think I have the wrong case. Scooby-dooby-doo, where is the document I was a-readin'? Well, crap. I have deleted. Wonder if it's right here. Nope. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. Okay, there's another one. Let's see. Surveillance cut. This is Washington Post. That said, surveillance contractor violated rules by copying travel images, license plates, and license plates can continue to work with CPB, Customs and Border Patrol. Private contractor at the center of a massive data breach revealed key elements of the U.S. government's surveillance machinery will still be allowed to continue working with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection after agreeing to new security controls. Perceptix, a Tennessee-based maker of automatic license plate scanners used to track vehicles at many of the United States border checkpoints, violated CBP rules when it copied images of travelers and license plates onto a private computer system. Those systems were hacked and held for ransom and had their contents posted online, triggering an emergency response inside of CBP and exposing confidential agreements, hardware schematics, and other records the government had long sought to keep under wraps. Border officials did not learn of the cyber attack until 3 weeks after the breach was discovered. The breach cast a spotlight on the troubling fact for federal lawmakers and privacy advocates. The privately maintained surveillance systems the government relies upon for its wide-reaching security mandates are expanding quickly with no oversight, and it's hard for the public to keep track. Border officials weren't told of the massive breach until 3 weeks after the subcontractor was alerted. Members of Congress this summer expressed fury. Oh yeah, fury, right? At the breach and said it made them question the risks of the country's surveillance infrastructure, which includes new facial recognition systems being installed at airports and used by federal investigators and local police. The police state's upon us, friends and neighbors. And you can't trust the police. That's the problem. The federal government does not have a great track record securing America's personal data, said House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Rep. Benny Thompson from Mississippi, said at a hearing in July. A CBP contractor for 30 years, Perceptix was suspended from contracting for what the CBP official said was evidence of conduct indicating a lack of business honesty or integrity. But in an agreement between CBP and Perceptix made public last week, the company will be able to resolve its suspension and return to federal work, of course, as long as it agrees to abide by a number of security reforms. Isn't that great? We should trust them, right? Just trust me. I'm with the government, right? Trust me. I'm with the government. Oh, terrible. How could you not trust the government, Sam? What's wrong with you? Well, there's a lot wrong with me, but that doesn't mean I should trust the government. What else do we have in here? The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency issued an alert after discovering a low attack complexity vulnerability in ALPRs sold by Motorola Solutions, one of the biggest players in the industry. Let us check that one out. Yeah? Here you go. Motorola Solutions Vigilant License Plate Readers. I say Vigilante. Here's the executive summary. They are exploitable remotely, low attack complexity. There's a risk evaluation. Successful exploitation of vulnerabilities will allow an attacker to tamper with the device, access sensitive information, or perform a replay attack. And then they list the products that are there. And what they list is several problems with it. Authentication bypasses that exist, clear text storage and files are on disks, use of hard code credentials, insufficient protected, missing encryption, authentication bypasses, insufficiently protected credentials, migrations to other platforms. They have problems, is what they're listing. Within the past few years, a number of companies have started to offer enhanced ALPRs and software to police departments across the country. Among the largest is Flock, a startup founded in 2017. Their cameras are in over 5,000 communities. And Flock claims that it exists to eliminate crime by providing customers with actionable evidence they need to solve, deter, and reduce crime. They offer several different camera types to government and private sector customers. Flock cameras are compact and require little or no infrastructure, make them easy to install and operate. Its Falcon LR, for instance, can operate around the clock, power itself with solar energy, and capture vehicles traveling up to 100 miles an hour from 150 feet away. These cameras are less expensive than traditional ALPRs, which were typically too expensive for smaller mid-sized police departments. When Flock's cameras capture an image of a car, Flock software uses machine learning to create what Flock calls a vehicle fingerprint. This fingerprint includes the color and make of the car and any distinctive features, like a bumper sticker or roof rack. The software they've created converts each detail into text and stores them in an organized database. Flock users can filter their searches based on these features because of the vehicle fingerprint automatically links different images of the same car within Flock database, create a record of that car's movement over time. Flock offers other software features for police departments to use with its cameras. I'm telling you, this is scary crap. This is a case in Norfolk, and it's only one. The defendants, installation and operation of these cameras are creating a running 30-day record of the whole of Lee and Crystal's movements throughout Norfolk and other jurisdictions that allow Flock to share their data. Because of defendants' installation and operation of the cameras, defendants being the police, a Flock camera has photographed Lee's car virtually every time he has driven out of his neighborhood since the cameras were installed in February 2023. On information and belief, because defendants' installation and operation of the Flock camera, Flocks have photographed Lee's car in and around Norfolk nearly every day since February 2023 as he has traveled to work, to the store, to church, to the shooting range, to his daughter's school. After the Flock camera photographed Lee's car, Flock created a vehicle fingerprint that linked different images of Lee's car in Flock's database and created detailed records of his movements in and around Norfolk. On information and belief, because of the installation operation of the camera, Flock has photographed and tracked Crystal's car in and around Norfolk every day as well, as she travels to see family, friends, provide care to her clients. After the Flock cameras photographed Crystal's car, Flock created a vehicle fingerprint, just like it did for her husband. Because of the agreement to purchase the NPD's policy, a record of the whole of Lee and Crystal's movements over the past 30 days is accessible to any Norfolk PD officer and anyone else the NPD has granted access. NPD has a policy or custom of allowing officers to access data from the Flock camera without a warrant or other form of prior approval. Thus, any officer can access the whole of Lee, Crystal, or any other driver's movements over the last 30 days without a warrant. So here's what I suggest is that we come up with, you know what I think? I think I will go down and drive past the camera that I took down and I assume has been reinstalled. Find out where other Flock cameras are around the area. And then do just a loop. Go round and round and round and round past those cameras for 30 days and then file a similar lawsuit here. File a lawsuit in federal court here under the same sort of theory that has worked here. And I haven't downloaded the remainder of the case. I need to log in again and find out if that trial has been passed. I think it has, if I remember, but it was last week when I was looking and at when that case was scheduled to go to trial. And I tell you what, these are frightening times, and the government overreach abounds everywhere you go. And if you're not bothered by it, you should be. And if you think, Sam, you're talking about police, and those police are all just good guys. Yeah, just like the police chief who chased around his girlfriend, just like the other one from the data breach that occurred at Customs and Border Patrol, and the numerous police that have tracked their girlfriends on cell phones and otherwise, and all of those sorts of things. You have to have a warrant to find out where people are going. And these cameras, what about the ones that are selling someone's data as they drive past it to the repo company? That's not what these are for, but I guarantee you Flock is selling them. That's exactly, or the police department, worse, is selling them. What if the repo company can go into any police department or the Department of Public Safety and track this movement? And or a judge allows them to do so to get a car. If a judge allows them to do so, that's fine. But if a judge hasn't allowed it, it isn't. And if they're selling these things, or these law enforcement agencies are selling the data to anyone, insurance company, anybody, it's not permitted. Or shouldn't be permitted. And I hope that this case, I hope these people, what were their names again? Let's go back and find out. Lee Schmidt and Crystal Arrington, I hope they win. I really do. And I think that is a valid case. There was a case in Illinois that are mixed vendors. And this one is a challenge to the ones on the expressway, the automatic license plate readers, and it has a network and statewide sharing. And it got dismissed. This case got dismissed. And I wanted to read a little bit about this one because this has a memorandum that came out. The case has a Fourth Amendment challenge to Illinois' automatic license plate reader program, and the plaintiffs live and drive in Cook County. The defendants are Illinois Governor Jay Pritzker. The plaintiffs brought the case under 42 USC, claiming the defendants violated Fourth Amendment rights, and the plaintiffs moved for a preliminary injunction. Defendants moved to dismiss under 12B1 for lack of subject matter jurisdiction, 12B6, failure to state a claim. And the background, after the pleading stage, the court accepts all the facts as pleaded well. Now, this is Illinois. 6 years ago, U.S. postal worker Tamara Clayton was fatally shot on I-57. This unfortunate expressway shooting sparked a movement in the community. Illinois Department of Transportation, blah, blah, blah. I want to get to why they implemented the cat. 2 years later, Illinois passed a statute appropriating funds and extending the program for buying automatic license plate readers to 20 other counties. To date, the Illinois State Police installed 344 cameras in Cook County. The surveillance program works in two steps. Installed on the side of the roads, license plate of vehicles driving by are taken. System uploads a photo to a law enforcement archival reporting network. This national database compiles and stores billions of license plate photos taken in Illinois and everywhere. Law enforcement agencies across the country can flag a hot plate if, for example, a car is reported stolen. It is used as a getaway car, has expired registration. License plate photos sit idle in the database until there is a hit. When the ALPR detects a hot plate, when the police receive notification of the hit, they can enter the database and retrieve the license plate photo and associated metadata of when and where this was taken. Information allows police to see what cars passed by that area at the relevant time. and to whom they were registered. Under the Expressway Camera Act, an Illinois state police officer may retrieve the license plate photo and investigate any offenses involving hijacking, aggregated vehicle, terrorism, blah, blah, blah. They may also retrieve a photo to detect expressway hazard and highway condition and to facilitate highway safety and incident management. By statute, all images from the camera shall be deleted within 120 days unless the images are relevant to an ongoing investigation. Plaintiffs challenge the act and Illinois' warrantless use of ALPRs is unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment. They bring this challenge seeking injunctive relief and attorney fees, but not compensatory damages. Plaintiffs asked the court a preliminary enjoin from accessing ALPR data unless first they obtain a warrant. Okay. Now, when was the this case done? Where are we? Darn it. I need a date, friends and neighbors. So far, they're not here. Let's see. Legal standard, federal rule. Well, this is different. Because there is a use of ALPRs, which we need to go into this in the use of the database. And it's a long case, and I'm never going to be able to get it to you all in today. But here it appears that the court granted the motion to dismiss. So I'm wondering about the procedural status of this case. Oh, yep, dated March 21, 2025. Defendant's motion to dismiss was granted because plaintiffs failed to state a claim. They have not demonstrated they are likely to succeed on the merits. The first step in a preliminary injunction asks plaintiff likelihood of success on the merits. Plaintiffs are given until April 30 of 2025 to file a motion for leave to amend if they wish to do so. Well, I'm not sure if that happened yet, and I'll have to dig that up and see if we can come up with some more info on that case. Because there's another one that is Binaldi versus Sylvester, called the Peekskill Police Department. And that case alleged a long-term LPR querying by officer. That one was also dismissed. Let's see here. Eastern District of Los Angeles, I believe. California. U.S. v. Cooper is that case. Then there's Schemmel versus City of Marco Island. The Island Geofencing ALPR Retention and Sharing Challenge. Case continued with supplemental briefing in 2024. That case is still local government, MCLE. Smith versus Flock Safety in 2024. Chowaniak versus Whitesboro Police Department in New York. Pro se suit using magistrate recommended case terminated in 2024. Let's see. Federal criminal decisions where they were not suppressed. The courts are getting more and more into use of these cameras. So following those cases, like the one that includes a warrantless search, is going to be a big deal. Now, it's hard to weave through here and get all of those, but the Carpenter case, which was quite important, that did the same thing for cell phones, means the police aren't allowed to go out and just willy-nilly take your phone records. They have to have a warrant in order to get them. That is an unreasonable search, is what that relates to. Well, a fun topic, but I'm not sure I want to get into another the Carpenter Jones and the reason for this. Let's call it the courts ruled in it that it was sort of a mosaic. When, if for a question that keeps coming back and circling around, when, if ever, does an aggregated plate location history become a Fourth Amendment search? Civil suits like the Schmidt in Norfolk got past 12b-6 by pleading blanket citywide tracking. Many suppression rulings say the actual query results don't rise to Carpenter level whole of the movement tracking, which is what they say that Carpenter required, this mosaic question. Plaintiffs have to show that their movements were captured. So we couldn't just say they've taken movements, and that's the mistake it appears that they made in that Illinois case that I was looking into. And that was also a statute where this the standard is completely different, where they're talking about what the state referred to, what the state reviewed, in saying that it was okay to limit these type of things. So there's a lot of the fact that there's a statute in that one, and that they had a reason for implementing the statute and infringing upon their citizens. Their citizens' rights. So if Missouri has a statute that says we can impinge upon our citizens' rights because we're trying to get past, you know, we're trying to increase safety, and they give them this right, but it doesn't appear that that's the case here either, because this is done by local sheriffs. I don't know what the DPS has to allow it to interfere in that regard. But anyway, the plaintiff has to show that their movements were captured and queried in a way that invades their reasonable expectation of privacy. And a couple of cases haven't done that well enough and have been dismissed. Scope, duration, and density. Courts will look hard at how many hits, over what period of time, what the data paints as a substantial picture of the movements of the, you know, like Carpenter. The person who claimed that the telephone would do it. The vendor role. Flock has been trying hard to intervene in these cases, and they want to hard. And in Norfolk, they were not allowed and said that the police can adequately represent that data. But the fact is that they can access all of the data. What gives them the right to access the data? How do they get to hold on to that data? That's your own private data. What if you sued them individually? Now, there's been a couple of attempts at that, and that hasn't been allowed to either. And, you know, there was also the one with federal immigration agencies accessing the Flock networks and created some changes to policy and law, sharing and retention of the data, state law friction over cross-jurisdiction sharing, California lawsuits versus cities, Illinois Secretary of State alleging access to Flock and retention limits, like Virginia policy moves that they're trying to make to limit it. And what is the plain view versus aggregation? I think that they should suppress a lot of the suppression rulings, emphasize that single or sporadic ALPR pings are like public observations, not a search. But plaintiffs argue that networked long-term capture flips the analysis, something that an officer could never do in a million years, or even a group of officers. So I don't know. The only active federal case appears to be right now the one that is Schmidt versus Norfolk, and that is a civil case. It needs to be watched. These people are putting on a good fight. And it's a run at a Flock-run municipal network, and it survived a motion to dismiss already. And so everybody is watching this case. Most suppression fights in criminal cases, including queries on Flock, have been upheld, the use of these ALPR data. The courts are stressing the limited number of hits and the lack of long-term pervasive tracking. I think 30 days is long-term. At any rate, my name is Samuel Trapp. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's program. I've enjoyed doing it. Had a good time doing it. And I thank you very much for participating. You can join me every night from 9 p.m. to 10:30 and from 9 p.m. to 11 on Sunday nights. And that's always at the Lake Ozark Real Estate of the Art Studio. I take all of my shows and upload them to internationalflavor.com after the fact, and you can always listen to them on that podcast site. And they are also at damradio.com/podcasts. Thank you very much for participation tonight, and you have a good night.